Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. On Monday, it's May 16th, 2022, and we're going to go out to North Dakota today on an NAESP, National Association of Elementary School Principal Show. We're going to talk to Dave Steckler, who's the president-elect of that organization. And in his spare time, he's principal of Red Trail Elementary School in Mandan, North Dakota. So it's going to be a long ways across the country today to talk to him. And we're going to talk about the things going on in education today for elementary school principals involving working with their teachers on social, emotional wellness for their teachers and their students in an effort to retain teachers, okay, in this age of an educational shortage and other things that are making principals pull their hair out these days and how they're managing it, et cetera. So bear with it. It's going to be a really informative show. Dave is a really good guy. We're going to archive it over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our main that's our main website. It's Monday morning. It's 9 a.m. Give me a break. All right. That's our main website, ace-ed.org, our magazine, Equity and Access, over there. New issue is up. It's just beautiful. It's the May-June issue. You'll really, really enjoy it. Okay, just great stuff. Just click on the cover there and read right through. You'll like it. A lot of information on the site. All the podcasts are over there. You'll see the link. Okay, we also will link over to SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, SELToday.org, and also to our teacher retention site, which is the big worry these days, educator shortage. Please check out what we're doing in the professional development that we do offer to schools because we respect and love teachers so much. This is really going to help them, and it's over at ace-ed.org. So please, at teacher-retention.com. That's where we are on that one, teacher-retention.com. But again, it's linked. We also have our awards program, the Excellence in Equity Awards, help us spotlight, celebrate high-impact work in equity. Okay, across K-12 education with 27 different award categories. You can nominate yourself, a colleague, or companies can nominate themselves, founders, thought leaders, anything you want to do, check it all out. It's linked over there at ace-ed.org, but you can go to ace-ed.org/awards, and you can also email us at awards@ace-ed.org. But check it all out. Everything's at ace-ed.org, and all the links are there. Etc., etc. Okay, just like that, boom, off we go to North Dakota from the great state of Maine, where I am, and we're going to talk to Dave Steckler. Hi, Dave. It's Larry here. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Larry. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. Is it dark and dreary out there in North Dakota today, or bright and sunny?
It's early. It's actually bright and sunny. We've had some moisture last week and a lot of wind. So we're enjoying today and looking forward to a nice day.
Well, if you had a lot of wind last week, just listen to me for half an hour, and you'll put that in perspective. Okay, it's good to have you here, Mr. President-elect. How's that feel, to be the president-elect of NAESP? How's that feel?
That feels good. You know, I think the biggest part is I'm in that role to advocate for our principals and education and provide a good insight on how we can make things better.
And you will do that. How long have you been principal of Red Trail Elementary in Mandan? Mandan or Mandan? I want to get that right.
No, it's Mandan. You got that correct.
Thank you.
I opened up Red Trail 8 years ago. It's a new school. Well, it's not new anymore, but we opened it up 8 years ago. I've been in Mandan for 16 years.
Well, and the school isn't new anymore, and neither are you, okay? How's being a principal? Do you enjoy it? What did you find out when you first opened it as opposed to now? And you opened it before the pandemic.
You know, I still enjoy my job. I've been doing I've been a principal for 26 years, in education for 31, and I love coming to work. I enjoy what I do. Things have changed. The role's changed. Yep. Education has changed, but we still, our priority is students and provide what we need to provide for them to help them be successful.
And brag about the school. Tell us how big it is and what Mandan is like. I bet a lot of people, including me, don't know what the community is like. Go ahead.
Mandan is a rural area. We have about, I'd say, 25,000 people. Red Trail is definitely a newer school. It is a non-Title I school. We have about 450 kids. When we opened, we had 260. We're in a growing area.
Wow.
So our enrollment's increased, and definitely we are building more schools. We're building another elementary school here that will be open in a year, and we're building a new high school. So it's a community that is connected to Bismarck. The Missouri River separates us. And so Bismarck's about 75,000 people, and then Mandan's at about 25. So there's a lot of growth. There's a lot of people moving into the central part of the state.
Are you right across from Bismarck? I don't know the geography as well as I should.
Bismarck.
Go ahead.
I can see Bismarck out my backyard, yes.
And the question is that for TV fans and movie fans, how about Fargo? Can you see Fargo?
I can't see Fargo. No, there's too many hills on the western part. But if I get over by Jamestown, then it's, you know, it's kind of like this. You can watch your dog run away for days.
Yeah, there you go. It's beautiful.
Pretty fun area.
I'm sad to say I've never been to North Dakota. Okay, and someday I'll get out there, for goodness sakes, but I know it's a good place. All right. And actually today I have to say, I'll ask you about this. I got a press release in this morning from Waterford Company, and they said they're doing a lot of work with kids in North Dakota. Are you working with them at all? I'll do a little push here.
I know a little bit about that, but we're not working with them. No, we do not. No.
Okay. I was just curious because this thing came in today. I thought North Dakota. What the heck? I'll mention it and give it a little plug there. Okay? They're good folks. All right? Why not, right? All right. Dave, okay, we're coming to the end of the school year, and I hope it was a good one for you. It sounded like you're in great spirits. It's the third one impacted by COVID, as you well know better than me, okay? What's the atmosphere these days in your schools? I'm going to say schools as opposed to just Red Trail, okay? But you can talk about Red Trail in particular.
You know, I think when COVID arrived mid-March or early March, we closed down. We reopened in August that following school year, and we reopened with mask mandate protocols that we needed to take with COVID, but we went the entire year. This is our second full year dealing with COVID. I have to say, the atmosphere amongst our schools that I'm aware of has definitely, there's been some challenges. There's
sure.
been some frustration. But I think what we have done as leaders is we've taken the approach to provide a very positive culture, provide that support to our families, to our students, to our staff that helps them work through this and get through it.
Good.
And then not only COVID. It's COVID obviously has impacted some people financially, and so we've worked together to try to instill that family mentality where we can help support people and work with them to get through some of the challenges that they have faced.
That's excellent. And your staff is doing okay? Everybody was okay through the whole damn thing?
Yeah, our staff is really good. I just had a staff member here that got it for the third time, and she's back.
Mm.
She came back last week. And, you
Good
know, our
Lord.
District, had, yeah, we had lost a few staff members due to COVID, which was pretty emotional dealing with.
Did they pass away from COVID?
They did, yep. Yep.
Oh,
young
I'm sorry
people.
To hear that. I'm sorry to hear that, truly.
Yeah, so, you know, there's been some challenges with it, but I think we've embraced the challenge, and you know, we're not going to let COVID end us. We're going to deal with it.
No.
We're going to work as a group and work through it. So we've really, I guess, you know, from my standpoint, I've worked really hard to keep that positive culture and make sure that our students feel comfortable and they want to be here and feel safe and all that. So we've done a lot of work with the culture piece and providing that support to our families.
And what you do, just out of curiosity, I mean, how many faculty and staff at Red Trail? Okay, and what'd you do? How'd you work it out? That's tough. I mean, losing two people is tough.
You know, I think what we did is I have about 80 people, staff members. What we did is that first year, if they had COVID, we did not take sick leave or anything. We provided them support financially. Those days were paid. We continued to not take away the sick days, and we had the COVID relief days. And a lot of things that we did, our staff were able to maybe work from home. If they had COVID and they were healthy enough, they could work from home and do it virtual.
Cool.
We did a lot of things virtually to provide support to our staff so that this did not impact them on a financial standpoint.
That's wonderful. But the school stayed open for a good period of time during COVID, if I heard you correctly. Did I?
We did, yep. Yep, the only time we closed was when COVID initially hit in the spring. I think it was at the spring of 18 or spring of 19. I can't remember the year. It must have been 19. But that's when we closed. We reopened in the fall. And we moved forward, and we dealt with it, and you know, we just provided a lot of support to our people.
Good, and I'm glad it's working out. I'm glad the kids. Do you feel like the kids are healthy through it all?
I don't mean healthy COVID-wise.
I mean healthy social emotionally. I guess is what I really mean.
Well, that, you know, I think they're healthy social emotionally. We definitely have seen some changes with that. I think it's interesting. I was just talking to somebody. My son had graduated from UND this weekend, so we were up there.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
I was talking to the head football coach, and he was asking me about COVID, and I said, well, you know, I think COVID, I didn't realize how COVID would impact that social emotional piece, the mental health piece. We have noticed some challenges with the mental health piece, definitely.
Right. In what regard, if I may ask, what do you find it?
You know, I think what has happened is our families have struggled maybe financially, or the COVID, or the jobs. You know, they lost their job or they lost their business, and it's just trickled down into their kids. Where, you know, mm-hmm. when you're struggling from a family standpoint, there's frustration amongst mom and dad, and then the students are not probably getting the necessary support that they need. And it's been a challenge. You know, we've had to deal with some behaviors. We've had to deal with some things that we normally don't have to deal with.
I'm sorry you've had to go through that. It is tough. It's tough everywhere. And now, you know, I want to bring this up. You're president-elect of NAESP, National Association of Elementary School Principals. Okay. You've learned a lot. At North Dakota, your school stayed open for a good part when other schools were closed. Okay, so you bring a slightly different perspective for a lot of people. Well, you know, take your new job as NAESP, your president-elect, you become president soon. Talk about what you've learned and how you hope to move forward in that. Not like you're running for office here. I don't mean it that way. You don't take the stump. But what are your plans, get all this considered, Dave?
You know, I think my platform definitely in this role is to help principals and schools understand that, you know, we face challenges every day. And COVID definitely was one of the biggest challenges, because from a standpoint, we didn't know what we were going to do. And thankfully, we are a one-to-one school district that provided the support through technology. We were able to do a lot of virtual work. So I guess moving into this role, I want to help principals understand that, you know, we come to work every day and it's a new day, and you never know what that day is going to bring you. But I think the biggest part is having that support, having that network, working together to support each other, to help deal with those challenges. That's going to be something that I'll lean on, how we can work together from a national level to support our principals on a national level to help deal with some of the challenges that we're facing today.
I wish you the greatest success with that. I really do. You know, I can't remember where I heard this, and I'm not sure I'm right, but does North Dakota have a very low teacher salary or a low starting salary? I heard something. I think it was North Dakota. I don't mean to paint a picture that's not accurate. Do you know about that? Leading to something. Yeah,
we were one of the lower states. I want to say we were like 49th or 50th probably eight, nine years ago.
Yeah.
We have probably moved into the middle of the pack. It was probably about 8 years ago. Our governor provided a lot of dollars to help increase salaries of educators. So our staff, or our salaries amongst our staff has increased, which has been really a positive thing. I remember the days when I graduated, everybody said, well, you want to go to Minnesota because you're going to make $10,000, $15,000 more. Well, now we are higher than Minnesota from a base standpoint. So,
boy, that's great.
We've taken a better approach on how we can increase the salaries amongst teachers.
And thank you. I was leading into that because I think I talked to somebody. I can't remember where that person was from. How about South Dakota? Did I get my Dakotas mixed up? Do you know?
Yeah, South Dakota still struggles. I actually have a teacher, a second grade teacher, they are moving to Aberdeen, South Dakota. She's taken about a $10,000 pay cut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then I got my Dakotas mixed up, and I didn't mean to paint a bad picture of North Dakota. And by the way, I'm going to tell you a funny story. When I started teaching, I graduated in the 70s. My starting salary in a wealthy suburban district near Philadelphia was $6,700 a year, just so you know.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Back in 1990, my first teaching job, I think my contract was $16,500.
Yeah, I would have killed for $16,500 in those days. I would have been a rich man. You know, it was funny back then. $6,700. I was bringing home $99 a week, and of course I was young, but I could live on it. Think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just absolutely astounding.
I made my house or apartment payment. I lived in a small community, about 300 people. I rented a house $75. My car payment, I was thinking that the other day, how I was able to make my payments for the things that I was paying off, and then also have a little few dollars to be able to have a little fun with. So, it's amazing how a person was able to do that back in 1990.
Can't do it now. You're not on that kind of money anyway, but you can still have some fun. I meant to ask you a minute ago, you were talking to the head football coach at UND. Okay, did your son play football there?
He did. Yep. He did. He's going back this fall to play his fifth year. So he graduated
good.
And come back and play. Yes. Played for University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. We're a big rival of North Dakota State Bison. So we're hoping that this is our year that we can maybe change the tide a little bit with their run.
Well, I wish you good luck with that. And what position does your son play?
Plays tight end.
No, well, if I ever see it on TV, I'm going to remember that. I may see him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You bet.
My son played tight end in high school, then in college they moved to tackle. And then he got hurt and he wound up not playing. Yeah.
Where did he play at?
A Division II school in Massachusetts called Bentley University.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, cool stuff.
We played James Madison last spring during the spring year for the playoffs. That was a beautiful campus out there.
Yeah, it is. It's just good. I love the fall when football season happens. I wish your son good luck. I wanted to talk to you, and this is kind of what I was leading to with the salary question. You probably heard me at the beginning of the show. We're real concerned about this educator shortage. Okay, we're always concerned about equity, and this educator shortage, has a lot to do with that. Okay, there's a resignation out there in terms of teachers leaving the profession, not enough coming back into it, or in this educational cohorts are low with the schools, all right? And what do you hear about that? And not just in North Dakota in your school, but you're going to have to take on this burden as president of NAESP. What are you hearing, Dave?
Well, I definitely am hearing that we are losing teachers. We're losing, I think in North Dakota, we're seeing some teachers leave. We're seeing, if it's a classroom teacher, if it's a specialist. I would say amongst the national level, I think we're seeing more and more teachers leave the profession out east. Or if it's south, or if it's west, there's just people that are getting out of it. And I think part of it is, from my standpoint, my take on that is, I think what we need to do is we need to bring everybody together, our local people, our parents, our school boards, and we definitely need to come together and help realize that when we're working and working with children, it's our job to work together and not work against each other. And that's one of the things that I see probably happening. We have districts, we have states that are working against each other rather than trying to figure it out and work together to provide a positive and solid educational foundation. So from my standpoint, I'm hoping that, you know, I can instill a little bit about how the importance of us, families, school board, working together rather than working against each other.
Well, I hope that works. I truly do. And how are you doing at Red Trail? Are there enough teachers to make it happen over there? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we just had a family fun night last week, Thursday, and we had probably one of the largest turnouts. And our entire staff was here. And I think the big part about education now versus when I was in elementary school back in the 80s and the 70s, relationships have become important. And when I meet with parents and just have conversations with parents, they talk about it's nice to see staff. It's nice to see them here on an evening where they're working with us in a different setting. So I think the big part is in education, we have to realize that relationships are important for us to be able to survive and work with our families, because they want to make sure that that their children are being taken care of, which is totally understandable. And I think that relationship piece helps people feel at ease. And so the relationship piece is definitely an important part of building that culture and building that trust amongst families.
You said that at Red Trail, and I don't know about the whole district, you can talk about that, that things are pretty good involving teacher retention. All right, would you carry that through to the whole district? This is interesting.
I would say it is similar in the whole district. When I talk about specialists and classroom teachers, like this year at Red Trail, I think I lost two teachers. One moved out of state to South Dakota.
Aberdeen.
The other one is has had some health issues, and they want to have children, so she kind of wants, you know, a stressful job. And then I lost a special ed teacher. So the special ed department has been a challenge. And I would say in North Dakota, we probably have seen more of our specialist people, our special ed people, especially in the ED, the emotionally disturbed area, where they deal with behaviors. That has been a challenge. And I think if we have seen some fall amongst staff struggling a little bit, it's been in our special ed department.
And, you know, that's interesting. And I hear that. Okay, in most places, I'll just tell you this story. I know of a district down in Georgia where something like 20% of their teachers, because there was just nobody to hire, 20% of their teachers are uncertified. 20%. But in this special ed, it's amazing, isn't it? And this is a large district, by the way. All right? But in the special ed, you're not going to believe this, it's over 50% are not certified. All right? And you know, this is a chance. I hate to lay this on your shoulders, Mr. President, you know, but this is something that's going to be a concern to you. I live in Maine, okay? You live in North Dakota. Believe me, the world is in Maine and the world is in North Dakota. You know that, okay? Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen with all that? We can just focus on the special ed thing. Where do we go? Where the hell are we going to get more special ed teachers? What's your thoughts? Where do you go?
I think some things have to change a little bit. One of the things that I'm doing here right now, when I look at my ID, my LD, and my ED, they're all separated. What we're trying to do is provide that culture of support. We're going to instill all of our special ed. They're all strategists, so they can work with ID, ED, and LD. We're combining them to provide a stronger, larger group of support to help them deal with some of the challenges that they have within the special ed area. And it could be paperwork. I mean, when you look at a special ed teacher,
absolutely.
They have multiple paperwork to complete.
Absolutely.
And that's overwhelming. And then you tie in some of the challenges from an emotional standpoint of working with students. So, you know, they're getting hit, you know, many different ways, if it's paperwork or if it's challenges with behaviors or just some things with students that are going on. I think what we need to do from a national level is we need to provide a stronger support for our special ed people. And we need to look at, okay, what can we change with the paperwork piece? And then also, how can we support our people, not just one special ed teacher having to deal with 19 kids or 15 kids on their case. How can we bring in more people to help support them? The biggest part for me that I really work hard with our special ed people is you always have to have that daily pre-meeting. When you come to work, let's talk about how we're going to make our day great. And then you need to have that debriefing meeting at the end of the day. How did it go? What are some things that we did well today? What are some things that maybe we need to change? I think too many times we're taking things home, and it's eating at us, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge for our people, and I think the biggest part, you know, how do we get through some of those challenges? How do we get through difficult things, us as families and individuals? By people. We get through them by people supporting us and talking to people. And I think that's the biggest piece that I think what we need to do. We need to look at more support. When we talk about resources, we talk about people. We need more people. And how are we going to get those people if they're not going into education? I think we need to show our people that, hey, this is a job that is changing, and we're providing more support for you to help deal with some of those challenges that are keeping our people from not going into education or getting out of it.
You know, it's interesting, as I listen to you, and I know you say this a lot. Okay, Dave, you're so interested, and I love this, about building relationships and understanding people and realizing, I'll say a funny term, that your resources are, in fact, human. All right, and I just love the way you're going about that. And sometimes we do forget that. It's really, really important. And I loved your point. You know, one of the things with special ed is the amount of paperwork, and it inundates people. And if we can get more support people, okay, in there, okay, and take away that burden so they have more time to work with their students, et cetera, it's going to make a lot of difference, and I hope you can get all that done. You know, it's just brutal out there. What are you hearing from other, just as we wind down here, are you hearing about shortages or challenges in other areas as well? I understand that elementary isn't in as dire a shortage need as secondary. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm not hearing a big shortage in elementary. I am hearing a shortage in secondary, middle and secondary areas, if it's math, if it's language arts. Arts, whatever it would be, but there are definitely some shortages. But, you know, the other thing that I think has added to some of the shortages is you know, education is a great job. I have, like I said, I've been doing this for 31 years,
and I plan to do this for more years.
And I love my job. I love coming to work. What a better way to spend your day working with students and working with children. And I think from a standpoint, I think We need to change the negativity, and I think there has been some challenges. There has been some negativity in the last couple of years in multiple states, including North Dakota. But I think when we look at our families and we look at some of the people that are not going into education, I think part of it is it's a perception thing, and I think. From us as educators, it's our job to really talk about the great things we get to do every day and the wonderful things, the rewarding things that we have benefited from as educators. So I think hopefully we can turn the tide a little bit, but one of the things is you know, there's not a better job in my eyes. If I went back and redid this whole thing, I'd do it again. I would. And
I believe you. I believe you.
It's fun, and I think, you know, part of it is just trying to help our people who are going into education It's that support piece. I think when people leave, when they leave the profession, they don't feel supported. And I think, and that's just not from an administrative standpoint. That's from a family standpoint, a parent standpoint, a district standpoint. I think what we need to do is we need to realize that our people need resources. And when I talk about resources, I don't need more textbooks. I need people. And the second thing is we need to support our people from a standpoint, not just always financially, but from an emotional standpoint, from a relationship-based standpoint.
I think that's great. You know, you keep saying that, and you're going to make it happen. You carry that message, my friend, across the nation. Okay? You're doing good. We got to go. And I just pulled it up on the web. How's number 85 on the University of UND's team? Who is that?
That's my son.
It is, kid.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah,
and he's about the same. You know, it's funny. He's about the same size, 6'3", 245, as my son was when he was in college. I thought that was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had some he had surgery at Christmas time. He had they had to cast his wrist after the Utah State game. He tore it up, so he was ineligible to catch a pass the rest of that. So all he was doing was blocking. So they had a cast on that wrist the rest of the season. But so he had surgery at Christmas time, and he's healthy, ready to go, and finish strong. So
I just hope he does great. I just hope he does great. My tore out of wrist shoulder. Okay, in his sophomore year. And that was kind of that. He stayed on the team, but he didn't do much after that. So I feel your pain, my friend. Okay, this is great. I wish him luck. I hope he has a great season. I hope you have a great season, Dad.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Larry. And thank you for allowing me this opportunity. And thanks for reaching out to North Dakota. And
Are you kidding me? You're welcome here anytime, my friend. Anytime you want to come on the show and talk to us about NAESP, anytime you want to come on and talk about the good things you're doing out there in Mandan, get on the phone, you let me know. Or write, email me. Okay? Dave,
like I
thank
said,
you.
NAESP is a great organization, and we have become stronger and stronger and provide a lot of support to our principals and educators. So,
you do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, have a good one, Dave. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Yep, bye.
Bye. And you can root for, unless you're on the Bison, you can root for University of North Dakota. Okay, Dave's son, Trey, works there, plays there. All right, it is a job, actually. But football in college is like a part-time job. We're going to archive the show over at ace-n.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.